The gospel lesson today is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's on page 2 of your New Testament portion of your pew Bible. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed a star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. And so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to be shepherd to my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring him me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, if you follow lectionary, you'll notice that today we're actually doing readings from Epiphany, which doesn't occur until Friday. But I thought it would be appropriate for us to stay within the kind of the birth narratives of Jesus. And so it's a good place to consider today. Many of us, we, our house included, have these mixed manger scenes where we have the shepherd and the wise men all there at the same time. But in some ways, if you listen closely to this text, you realize that this occurrence, these wise men coming from the east, happened sometime after the birth of Jesus. But they're no longer in a stable, they're in a house. These men are also not kings, as the song and tradition tells us, although you heard two texts today which would help us to help refashion that idea. Both Isaiah 60 and Psalm 72 has the word kings bringing gifts, and so that tradition has become woven in, although it's not there in the original text. The word is actually magi, from which we get the word magicians, and in their case, they're astrologers. They're stargazers. They read the signs and skies to interpret what's going to happen. Recently, I was working on this sermon at the library, and the reference desk librarian received a call, and I stood there for about a minute and a half as she was reading zodiac signs to the person who had called in. Apparently, this man has been doing this every day for 15 years, calling to have the signs read, the horoscope read. Well, sounds like these astrologers probably would have had a similar interest, a lifelong pursuit. Matthew's take on Jesus' birth is that it has more than just revealed to the shepherds. It has cosmic dimensions. And an interesting thing is that even though the Messiah, the king, was to be of Jewish descent, these Gentiles, these foreigners, were assured that they needed to go find this king, that his kingship would transcend his national lineage. And so they wander into Jerusalem, asking around. Notice they did not go to Herod. Being wise, they probably knew that it wasn't a good idea to go to a man whose title was King of the Jews and ask about his successor. And more, that word they use, homage, is not some perfunctory royal courtesy. The word actually is the same as worship. So it's a complex picture. These foreign astrologers, men of means and importance, have come to worship a baby child, king of the Jews. It's probably why when the word gets around to Herod, we're told he was frightened, along with the rest of Jerusalem. Did you notice that? It's not just the king, it's the whole city. That word, frightened, is better understood as stirred up or troubled. It's like when God's going to stir up the water. The great gospel song, Wade in the Water, God's going to trouble the water. It's a sign that God is in the process of doing something that's going to shake things up. And so what does Herod do? Well, he's a smart guy. He calls the religious authorities to ask if there's anything to these wise men's quest. So they cite text to him from Micah and Samuel, and all seems to line up. So in an effort to appear unaffected by the news, he secretly calls for the wise men to find out exactly when that star appeared, presumably so he could know the age of the child for a future action he would take to try to eliminate the threat. In this past year, we've seen lands that have been troubled by news or threats to establish power. The entire Middle East with the rise of ISIS, Syria with the rebel uprising fighting against President Bashar al-Assad. I think we can tend to romanticize the arrival of Jesus to earth without considering how troubled people may have been by this claim of another king. What would happen in their land? Would there be civil war? Would their livelihoods and lives be collateral damage in an ensuing struggle for dominance? See, they didn't have the benefit of knowing what kind of king Jesus would be, how he did not come to rule in this world. And so as far as they knew, it would be like the olden days with Saul versus David. Being a Roman vassal state was not ideal, but it was at least stable. It may have been dark times, but at least the nights were silent. Promise and threat often go together, and the people of the city, of their religious and political leaders, are mighty threatened by the astral birth announcement. In our land, a new president raises concerns about the impact on our daily lives, the economy, foreign relations, national security. What will happen to our nation? What will happen to our lives? Well, these magi, though, don't seem to be troubled by that uncertainty. That, after all, is the nature of their business, uncertainty. They journey on, they find the Holy Family in a house. They know in their hearts that they had come to the place where Jesus lived, and because they did, they felt overjoyed. Don't miss this. The text translates better in the New American Standard. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You can't get more joyful than these wise men. Why? What are they expecting? We oftentimes assume that they must have known the end of the story. We pair up their gifts with things about Jesus' kingship and about the, even the myrrh, anything about his death. But they're not prophets. They're not even Jewish. They're magicians. So why do they worship him? Well, maybe. Maybe it's because they knew in this child, heaven and earth were united in a unique way. That in all their studies and all their stargazing, that the answer to humanity's struggle, the mystery of the meaning of life, the hopes and fears of all the years were met in him. They looked into the face of this celestial king, this God-child who would stir souls, who would bring light to those in darkness, who would cross boundaries, turn tables, fiercely speak truth to power, who would mend the broken and heal the sick, who would raise the dead back to life. And well, what else could they do in the face of such awesome possibilities? But rejoice. In order for these magi to find Jesus, though, they had to move beyond reason to intuition. Herod wanted a factual report. He wanted to know what he's up against. They are following their hearts, chasing a shooting star. Their search is not too unlike our own. Their wandering, wondering wisdom resulted in worship, bowing before what they did not fully understand, the unfamiliar, the mystery, in order to open their lives to the possibilities that they could never have dreamed, becoming the first to fulfill the prophecy that the good news would go out to all the nations. When we seek God in rational explanations, in orderly and familiar things, in solutions to our problems, it is then that we can act more like Herod than the Magi. We can become so troubled that life just doesn't seem to go as planned that we move away from joy toward fear, protecting what we have, not wanting to risk what it takes to follow the star. We might install more security systems in our homes and cars, or build more gates, or buy more guns, save more for retirement, pull back from charitable contributions. We may close our hearts, our minds, to those in need and to those who are different. There's a great line at the end of the first reboot Star Trek movie, where at the end of the film, the young Spock encounters the older Prime Spock, struggling to know what to do in the light of Vulcan, the planet being destroyed, that's his home, and whether he should remain in Starfleet or return to Vulcan. Prime Spock says to the younger Spock, "In this case, do yourself a favor. Put aside logic. Do what feels right." It is not logical to give a child gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but it feels right. It doesn't make sense to give more of your life away in order to find the joy you seek, but deep down, it just feels right. Are you tired of life not seeming to make sense? Then stop trying to make it so. If it is true that Jesus came as a mystery our minds can never unravel, if it is true that the ground of all being is beyond our ability to comprehend, then maybe this is the year to put aside logic, to do what feels right. By this, I don't mean self-indulgence. I mean doing the things that allow the joy of Christ to well up inside you and respond to what he is calling you to do. You see, following after Jesus should not be a drudgery. It should make you overjoyed, just like these wise men. It should be wondrous and almost magical. And so I encourage you, find what brings you joy and do it. Follow the star until you see where it stops and go there. Maybe for you this year it'll be something you have thought about doing for a long time that you believe makes you follow after Jesus even more, but you hold back because it never seems the right time. I encourage you, stop, kneel, throw open your lives to Jesus and let him have the best of you. You won't regret it. And so this year, do yourself a favor. Put aside your fears of tomorrow. Put your faith in Jesus today. Emmanuel, God with us, is the one who holds the universe and our lives in his very being. And so allow his life that is ever new to renew you. Look for Jesus to appear in the places you go. Gaze into the light and allow it to consume any of the dark fears you have. God has delivered on his promise. God has made an appearance and will continue to in our lives no matter what. Will you see him? Will you trust him? Will you follow him? This year's journey, as all begins with a single step, what will that be for you? All praise, glory, and honor be unto God,
through Christ Jesus our Lord, the light who has come into the world.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.